Friday. The way that nature intended it.
Panic is organic. PBSradio.com.
Good morning, Andy. It's time for you to start your radio show. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Hello and welcome to the Mental Health Hotline. If you are obsessive compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, we know what you are and what you want. Stay on the line and we'll trace your call. If you're delusional, press 7 and your call will be transferred to the mothership. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully and a small voice will tell you which number to press. If you're depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one will answer you. If you're dyslexic, press 69696969. If you have a nervous disorder, please fidget with the hash key until the beep. After the beep, please wait for the beep. If you have a short-term memory loss, please try your call again later. And if you have low self-esteem, hang up. All our operators are too busy to talk to you.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, better known around the world as the Invisible Gardener. I don't know if I ever told you how I got that name, but I will someday. On today's show, you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic, by the way. On today's show, we're going to be doing the following, natural disease and pest control. See, all this is really online classes. Don't Panic, It's Organic, I own the trademark and copyright for it, but I actually set it up as an online class long time ago. I should have done I've gone in the t-shirt business, right? I'd be a millionaire now. You'd be listening to me talk about how many millions of t-shirts I've sold. Instead, I'm doing a class. So it's called Don't Panic, It's Organic. So that's how I got that. Anyway, today's show is natural disease and pest control. I'll be talking about more about bricks. I'll be covering a refractometer again. I mean, everything's again because it's kind of like I can't just say it once and then move on and people go, what? So I try to go over it on a regular basis, answer people's questions. What I'm actually doing is using my I have a new book coming out, so I'm going to be going through the chapters of each book on each show. I'm not actually reading it, but I'll be going through it. That'll be part of the show. I will, however, be reading the book on my audiobook podcast. I have 20, I think it's 22 books, and so I read them on my podcast, on my audiobook podcast. I do a lot of work for the blind and gardening, which is really, really, I was gonna say amazing. It is amazing, but it's just incredible that how they gardened. Believe me, I'll tell you about it someday. It's not, you can't look at a plant and say that's doing well. You have to feel everything, including the bugs, okay? I'm also going to be talking about the soil. I'll be talking about mycelium. I like talking about mycelium a lot. We're going to cover some tree pests and diseases, how that happens. I'll be talking about why the world is round. Oh, well, I don't think that was for this show, Why the World is Round. Wrong show. Okay. I also have some questions that people have been calling in, and I'll talk to you a little bit about my podcast. I'll tell you what's going on with my newsletter, we'll take it from there. What I like to call today's show is tea time, because I'm also going to be covering a lot of different kinds of teas, from compost tea, earthworm casting tea, rock dust tea, and we'll be doing more of that next show, okay? But I'll start a little bit on it, because each one of these things have to do this with tea can be explained with a different. And when you deal with diseases and pests and you make a tea, enough to drink in the tea as to how to control, do foliar sprays, how to control the bugs through the use of natural spraying methods. So let me give you my Let me start my first song today of the garden. Thank you very, very much for sending it to me. It's okay if you don't know the name of the song. You can send me. I have one guy send me 3 CDs. He says he's had it for a long that had them for a long time, and he made a copy for me. And of course, the CDs, which are cool, the CDs have the name of the song and the group that did it. Again, it needs to be as copyright free as possible, or with permission of the group for me to play it. But basically, these are old songs I want that are copyright free that I can play, so I won't have any problem playing them. Okay, or if you wrote them, that would be even better. Okay, so here's one.
Would you like to start a garden? You can plant your own shit right beside mine.
So this song is called Start a Garden. Isn't that nice? I liked especially the Row of Wishes. Hard for me to say that real fast. Row of Wishes. So before I start, I want to give out the number that you can call me at, because, you know, really, that's what it's all about, for me to talk to you. When I go do talks. I'm doing a lot less now in person than I am over the phone or like this, because I used to do a lot of driving, and now I'm really, as I get older, I'd rather ride a horse. Seriously, I love horse riding, but in a car, is like my right feet and my left feet are protesting, including my butt. They're all protesting. Yeah, okay, get out of the car. What? The other day I'm driving and try to step on the gas and brakes. My right foot didn't want to do it. My left foot had to take over gas and brakes. It's like, you talk about getting a cramp. Oh, boy. I do about 500 miles a week right now. And I, you know, so I used to drive all over the place. Then I did a lot of flying. When I gave talks, you know, I would go to Fayetteville, Arkansas, stuff, places like that. And I couldn't fly anymore because I had, long story short, I was in the service. I got blown up and I had shrapnel in my ear and it finally came out, but I still can't fly now because I've had my inner ear and my, So ear wall, blown away, you know, altitude. So that's why I have a hard time in Boulder, Colorado, the Mile High City. Anyway, when I give a talk, I'm not like the kind of person that would go there and have it already written down and, please, you're interrupting my talk. When somebody talks to you, I go there with like a brand new clean slate, like I'm doing this show. I don't see any notes other than these folks here waving at me. Hi. No, I don't really, you know, and maybe you can tell, and maybe that's the problem. Maybe it is. I don't know. But basically, I will sit down and it should start, you know, come out. I enjoy doing this, but the reason why I do this is to talk to you. So, you know, to answer your question, I tell people I don't do marital problems, but I might help a little bit with that. So the number to call here is 888-627-6008. The direct line is 323-744-4833. Now, we appear to have a listen-only line, which I'm not exactly sure why we have a listen-only line, because all you have to do is go to the website, you click on that button there, the little radio thing on my station, and you can listen through the computer. I'm assuming that if you have a cell phone, you can call that this number and listen only through the cell phone. That's the only thing I can think of. yeah. Oh, somebody's on line one. Well, gee whiz, how am I going to do my show if people are calling me up? Go ahead, put them on. Let's see what he wants. Hi, Dick. Oh, Dick.
Hi, Andy. What a great pleasure it is to speak with you.
Great. What's up?
So I have two coral trees, and they just aren't seeming to be doing that well.
You know, your voice sounds really familiar.
No, we haven't talked before.
We haven't talked before?
No. Maybe we were in high school.
Well, I don't know. I'm an old Austin boy myself. Okay, so you have to, do they have coral trees in Texas?
Yes, we do. Two coral trees. And I have some tree vents in them. And I keep putting some stuff down there, but I don't know if it's helping.
Okay. you know, I'm psychic, right?
Are you really?
I can see what's in your mind. Let me put it to you this way. So you're... Texas is pretty much similar to what's going on over here in California in the sense of the drought, right? Either too much water or not enough?
Not enough water.
Yeah. So what you need to do is the coral trees, the tree vents are really meant for certain things. One is to allow water to get down deeper. And, you know, your real problem is that you haven't been watering the trees deep enough so that the water gets down in there. And what happens is that I'm not sure what type of soil you have there in Texas. Whether it's clay soil or sandy soil. I know over here we have clay soil. And so if you ever add water to clay and then heat, you get porcelain, cement. You get what we call in the gardening business, hard pan. And so I'm assuming the temperatures has been getting hot there too, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what I said before, is that when you add water to clay, not so too much, but just enough to, you know, mesh up the clay and then heat it up, you get a very hard cement porcelain-like material, and it's called a hard pan. That means that the water and the air and nutrients are not getting down to the roots. So in the tree vent, you have a drip system on the tree vents? Say no.
No, I have a soaker hose.
Right, well, the soaker hose is meant to do just that, soaker. And it's a long line in which waters all that line, not so much into the tree vents. So a soaker hose won't work because the soaker hose has just a, even if you have it on for like a day, you know what happens? You have the water running down the river. You have a river running down your sidewalk, your street, and wherever else. It's not going down. It's going to go sideways. So you need to add water on a slow percolating basis so that it goes down deeper. So you should be watering. It depends, but basically my impression, I'm getting in your mind thoughts right now. This big picture is opening up, and I see, did you have a lawn underneath it?
Yes.
Right, you were watering the lawn, weren't you?
Yes.
Okay, so that means that, see, the lawn only has, what, not even a foot deep. I mean, the lawn normally have a 10-foot deep roots, okay? But if you water, say, I'm guessing you was watering almost every day or every other day, a few minutes.
By golly, you are something else.
enough to keep your lawn looking green, right? Because you're probably fertilizing the lawn too, to some extent. Are you feeding the lawn?
No.
Okay, well, are you feeding the tree?
Yes.
What were you feeding the tree?
I was feeding it with Nitron A35, and I was feeding it with some liquid seaweed and some microbe.
Okay, well, you needed okay, so that's not a fertilizer.
And
those
some overgrow.
Right, those things are all enzymes. And what they do, like the super seaweed, it's a microbiological activator. But it's not. It's not a fertilizer. It's like as if you was eating a vitamin pill, but you're not eating dinner. So dinner on top of that, right? And your dinner wasn't really. You can't eat if you don't drink enough liquid. So it's just like in the body, it's the same thing, you know. So you have the same microbes in your stomach, and if you're really dehydrated, everything just doesn't work. So you need to. Deep watering, the problem is that the soil's had it there. You weren't doing any aeration of the lawn. Lawns are supposed to be aerated 2 or 3 times a year. Aeration means that you have this little device that punches holes in the lawn. You top dress it with compost and some good organic fertilizer mix. You water it well so it gets deep. So you want to keep adding soil, and that way it allows the roots. If the root systems of your lawn was like they were supposed to be, 5 to 10 feet deep, you know that tree system is getting the water that it needs. Deep watering. But if you have shallow root systems on your lawn, what's going to happen is normally the tree gets its water from down below the ground. But if us humans start pumping out the water because it's a drought, we're going to take the water where we can, and there's no water down there, the trees no longer have that deep watering, the water down below, and the root systems are going to die. You see what I'm saying? And so that's what's going on with you. Right, that's what's not with you, but with your trees, basically, in the sense that you need to, you haven't, over the, you know, I don't know Texas that well. But I've been watching the weather, and I'm assuming I see it get pretty hot. It's over 100, right? Sometimes.
Yeah. Right? Well, started when my stupid neighbor wanted me to chop the tree down because it was blocking her view.
Yeah, well, that was your parents' fault or your fault. You know, you couldn't, because if you had one of the things that the coral tree produces its own shade. So it allows the soil, the area underneath the tree, not to get baked. But by cutting it, the sun shines right straight down through that tree, right on that soil. And sure enough, the temperature is hot enough to bake it. That means that the soil, you may not be able to get the trees to recover, because unfortunately, you can't pull the tree out, amend the soil, and put the tree back in again. That would be great. If I was a giant, that's what I would do. I would dig a hole, pull the tree out, dig another hole, add a whole bunch of nice compost and stuff in it, put the tree back in again, and back in a container. But you can't do that. So, unfortunately, you're in a jam because that tree can't recover if the soil is freaking dead. It's dead there. There's nothing there. If you water, run it goes down. You know, you can go out and look for earthworms. You won't find any because they don't live in this kind of hard environment. And so there's nothing you can do other than learn and say, well, if you have other trees, may be a good idea to start paying attention to the deep watering of your soil there, because if you don't, then you can't do anything. You're back to a desert type of environment, because that's why that soil gets so hard in a desert. It basically is rock. Am I getting across to you there? Your name,
yes.
Dick?
Yes, my name is Dick Harrelson.
It's Willerson.
Dick Willerson, sorry.
Where in Austin, Texas are you?
I'm in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, where in Austin, Texas are you?
I'm in the outskirts, like 20 miles south of the city.
Oh, you must be near Lake Austin then.
Nearby.
Are you one of those naked people that go swimming in the lake all the time? Every time I go there, everybody's naked. They all yell at me, "Hey, you, take your clothes off." I go, "Well, okay." Yeah, you're one of them. I could tell. So what are you going to do about your trees? You know, there's nothing you can really do now. There's a couple of things you might be able to do, but it's a long shot in the sense of bringing that soil back. The trees are probably, what, 20 years old, 25 years old, 30 years old, right?
Yeah.
So this has been going on. They've been growing there for a long time. And you would think that soil would be in good shape, but it really isn't. Because if you're growing a lawn on top of it and you weren't feeding anybody or anything for a long time, slowly but surely your soil was starting to decay. The only thing that was keeping it alive was that you was watering on a regular basis and that the tree had a nice canopy to protect itself. By getting rid of that canopy, everything came right down to it and it baked that little area there. You still have a lawn?
Yes.
Well, I would just keep the lawn. Hopefully, even if you had, you know, a heavy winter where it rained and rained and rained and rained, it's not going to break down that soil again to allow the root systems to come alive. You know, you could have so many tree vents in there and to water, but once that clay gets hard, once the soil gets hard, it takes a long time to break rocks back into soil. It doesn't happen like, you know, overnight or even a few years. You would do well, for example, to get a truckload of soil and just dump it on top of that whole area. Even then, you basically have two segments. One segment you have soil, and when it hits a hard rock, that rock will be like that. It'll be hard like that for a long time, even with the layers of soil on top. So I'm thinking, well, you're going to have to just basically cut the tree out, dig a big hole, amend that whole area. By amend that area, I mean you have to take the root systems out of the tree. There's a big hole there. Make the hole bigger. It's on the slope, it's on the side of your house, in front of your house, right?
Yes.
Right, so you're going to have to dig down a little bit and just basically tear up that area and dump some more soil. If you dump soil on top of it now, it ain't going to do anything to the roots down below. So that place where the coral trees are at, you can plant some new coral trees, even though I would probably plant something different that's more conducive to living in a hard environment, in a harsh environment. A nice big palm tree would be nice. A pinyon palm is really nice, or a date palm. Those that produce date. So a palm would be good. Planting something like that in the same place again, it means you're always going to have this problem. Because I doubt it very much if the climate is going to be really mellow, it's going to be mellowing down. The climate is really getting worse and worse. It's going to go from one extreme to another extreme. It's going to either be really dry or really wet. And it's not going to be normal again. And, you know, you said you guys just went through a flood over there, or not to mention that hurricane underwater. So you'd probably be doing well to... If you're going to be in a survival mode, then you got to pay attention to the soil, to the earth. You let this go for too long, and now there's nothing much you can do to it other than build a little wall and start bringing tons and tons of soil and build the level up again. That's what I told one of my customers in Ojai, which I hope they're fine because their fire went there and everything, is that the first day I went there, they said, "What do you think is wrong with our?" I said, "Well, you have no soil here." And that's basically what you have there. You don't have any topsoil. So you need to start bringing in topsoil. You need to Apply it over the property on a regular basis, over and over and over again. Try to break down the hard pan, the soil is there. You break it up a little bit. And that area there, a nice ground cover would be perfect, better than a lawn. A lawn is not really a ground cover. You know what will do really well over there? It's called carapia, which is a natural native ground cover. That's roots to go down to 10 feet. By planting that ground cover there, the roots will help the area to remain, alive. But I think, and in the tree, you're going to have to dig a massive hole and bring in larger amounts of compost and soil, amend it really well, and plant something in there, and then mulch it over really well. The tree will grow into that area, but it won't expand beyond that into the hard soil. It's not soil, whatever that is you call it. Does this help you at all?
Yes.
By the way, you have a kid named Sam, don't you?
No, I don't.
You don't?
I'm just going to go play with my pee-pee.
Okay, well, did I help you then, right?
Yes, I suppose I'll just have to put some more topsoil down on the grass.
Well, that'll help the grass, but it won't help the tree. So,
well,
you know,
I'm just going to order some more AgriGrow and Nitron and just keep dumping it in my tree vent.
Yeah, well, that's okay. You could do that. The people would probably love you for it. The only way the tree will recover would be if the weather stopped getting hot, right, and it stayed mellow for a long time, and it rained regularly, not so hard, a little bit on a regular basis. Even then, that hard pan clay soil, you can attack it with that natural bacteria to break it up. It could take 5 to 10 years for it to start to break down to even resembles anything that you can stick your hand in there. So, you know, it's... But the rest of your property, you still have trees. That means that the soil still basically has some function going on. And, yeah, I would not ignore it. Bring in truckloads a little bit at a time and start dumping it, especially now during the next few months where the weather is a little bit more mellower, you know, in terms of rain, in terms of heat. I don't think you're going to get any rain, but you need to bring in more and more soil, and soil is your key to keeping everything alive during this time of change. Okay. Does that help at all?
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay. Bye.
Okay.
All right. So that was interesting, and. That's one reason why I talk a lot about the soil, okay? That's one reason why I'm always talking about the soil, because if you don't have soil, or in this case, topsoil, you're not going to have your trees. You're not going to have anything growing there. And if it's growing there and the soil is dying and decaying, then you're going to have problems. That's where all your problems come from. This person didn't mention whether or not the tree had any diseases and pests. More than likely, it just happened really fast, you know, in terms of the soil is just gone, you know. And it's not really fast. It's been going on for years, watering the lawn. The tree was getting some water, and it wasn't doing too bad underneath the soil because of some moisture under there. But then when that dried up and the deep roots, the main tap roots of the tree dies, and yeah. Usually what happens is the trees are sitting in the lawn gets watered. As the tree starts to get stressed out from not getting the nutrients it needs, pests and diseases will come about and attack the tree every time. I went to a customer, did a house call. Person says, what's wrong with this tree? I said, what's wrong with it is that you don't have any topsoil. Again, same thing this person was doing. Watering the lawn, not watering the trees. There's one tree that looks almost dead. There's three other trees that are showing symptoms of stress. I say as above, so below. That usually means that if you look at a tree and the tips of the tree are damaged and stuff like that, the root systems are in the opposite mirror place, also damaged too. Okay, so if you look at a tree and the structure above the ground of the tree, the below structure of the tree is identical. Give you an example, a palm tree. tall, long, skinny thing, a big bulb. Well, that's reverse it upside down, and you have this big bulb. It doesn't have a long, tall, skinny roots go down the middle. It does have a little bit of a tap root, but mainly has a ball where the root systems are at. You look at an oak tree with big branches. Well, the root systems are identical below, okay? And a lot of times, I've seen it happen, is when you have a work being done underneath a tree and they cut out a certain branch of the root systems of the tree, the branch up above it is affected also, the opposite mirror branch of that. So the trees, so the soil, that's why I talk a lot about refractometer, Briggs level, okay, and the mycelium. The mycelium is gone for this person, Dick, who called from Austin. No soil, no mycelium, no mycelium, no minerals. No minerals, the tree suffers, like you. So if you don't have any soil in your stomach, it's called biome, in your stomach, the type is a different, slightly different soil, but there you have microbes and everything growing in your stomach, and their job is to make the minerals available to you. You don't have them functioning, you're going to go through a mineral deficiency. If the soil does not have the microbes and the mycelium and the armies that are supposed to be there to make the minerals available to the plants, the plants are going to go through a trace mineral deficiency. Every time, all diseases are soil-borne. All plant diseases are soil-borne. I can't say the same thing with humans, even though I'm tempted to do that. Because there's lots of similarities. So when you say soil, I would say stomach. Okay? Really close, hey? Your stomach determines your health. By the way, I'm getting a lot of smoke. I might as well be smoking cigarettes and stuff because I've been smoking so much lately with all the fires going on here. Even though I live by the ocean, things are still burning left and right. I have this really cool mask that I wear, but if I wear a mask, it'll be like, watch. As soon as I put the mask on, I have this mask, see, that I can put on. And I don't think, hey, watch. I don't think you'll be able to hear me, but I'll try it anyway, okay, because I like it. See, it's up. Can you hear me at all when I put the mask on? Maybe you can. Reba, it's a special mask that I have. It's not so much for allergies, but there's so much toxins in the air. One of my shows is called Toxins, 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 because it's everywhere. Toxins are everywhere, literally, in the water, in the air. One of my column that I wrote is, well, it was 24 ways how to kill all living beings on the planet within 50 years, within 100 years, but I changed it to 10 ways to kill all living beings on the planet within 50 years. And I might be doing one way to kill, because there is one really good way, but that's, I'm not going to say it out loud too much. Anyway, if you're the quiet type and you decide you want to talk to me, you feel free to call me and I'm happy to talk to you. From wherever, I think these 800 numbers are good in the United States, but maybe also in Canada. I'm also thinking, and maybe the engineer can agree, that maybe, you know, you could use Skype and come on here and ask a question right through the Skype thing, and maybe we can figure how to tell people what to do then, because they always can tune in with Skype. I think that makes it easier in terms of paying from around the world, if you're some other part of the world or something, you know. You don't have to do a long-distance phone call if you're listening in. Anyway. I gave out the number before. It's 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. If you have questions, you can also email me questions to andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. Just make sure you put the name of the radio station that you're listening to. There are several different radio stations that this is available with, whether it be bbsradio.com, if you're listening through there, or if you're listening through invisiblegardener.com, or if you're listening to any of the different podcasts, Don't Panic, It's Organic, What's in Your Garden. There are a whole bunch of different podcasts I do, and they all go out to different places across the United States and the world. Anyway, I have a question, because I want to do the questions first, and then I could talk a little bit more about bricks. But I do is I find a way to incorporate the what I talk about into the questions. See, that's being really smart. I think I have, I don't know if I did this one or not, but I'm going to do it.
It's springtime in the flower garden hall. Every flower answered to the call. Roses dressed in robes of sparkling dew. They were there to gladly welcome you. Daisies in their gowns of snow white. Bumpy hugged with poppies left and right. Pink carnations lightly crept around. Clover blossoms on the ground. Violets were swaying in the breeze. To the music of the bumblebees. Grouses doing turkey trots with the sweet forget-me-nots. Hummingbirds hummed haunting melodies. The tulip and the stately golden rock. Some morning glories leap the earth wall.
Guess what? Flower Garden Walk.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a couple of questions. I'm going to go through them before the show is over, right? So the first question is, my citrus looks like it's dying. Yet I'm fertilizing organically as well as using compost and water several times per week. What do you think is wrong? When you ask me a question, you should try to give me as much detail as possible. Otherwise, I just have to read into it from experience what I think is going on. Okay, so first of all, the key to this problem is, I water several times per week. So that's what I'm going to key into there right away. Okay, citruses. Look, I have a customer who has a citrus I water once a month. My biggest problem is keeping the gardener's hands off the hose. I say, what are you doing? I'm watering. Leave it alone. But I haven't watered in a few days. Leave it alone. Right? So watering several times per week is a no-no. No. Even watering once per week, you know, it depends. It really depends on the condition of your soil. If you don't have any soil whatsoever. Also, too, when you send me a question, it'd be great if you could tell me what city you're in, right? This is Judy M. Oh, yeah, Montana. So you just said Montana. You didn't write down where in Montana. But I like Butte. But Butte? Right. It's a nice place. So I have some idea. But I'm figuring Montana citrus. So it's... gets cold there, so that's a good trick. So it must be in a greenhouse environment or some other situation where you can have citrus. Maybe in a container, right, inside the house. I'm thinking more of as in a container inside the house because in Montana, citrus, I don't think so. Okay, so in a container, you're overwatering. Yeah, you can give it organic fertilizers all you want to. but the organic fertilizer, it doesn't, and then saying you're using compost, okay? So if you like most people, you go to the store and you buy compost and it's in a plastic bag, is dead. It's not alive. Not alive is it if it's in a plastic sealed bag. So if it's not alive, it's not going to have the microbes needed to break down the organic fertilizer. Organic fertilizers depend on living organisms in the soil to break it down. That's why chemical fertilizers work so well in that sense, because they don't need anything to break it down. They go right into the plant, a lot more than needs it. See, right? Okay. So here's what I would do. First, stop watering it so much. I assume you're just watering because you think it's dry or because I have it. Because if it's sitting in a nice sunny spot, which it probably is, you know, that's what probably people do when they do citrus or something like that. You know, the fruit tree, they know they need to get as much sun as possible. So it means to take a little dry out faster, you know. And that's why you're watering so much, because it seems to be drying out faster. So what it tells me is that you need to repot that baby. Get some good organic potting soil, mix it half and half with a good rich compost. In Montana, you are bound to find good horse manure, animal manure that's been turned into compost, live, still alive, blended together with the organic potting soil, repot your citrus in that. Only water when it's dry. You want to water, say, once a week at the most. And you don't water if it's wet. So you get a little device you stick into the potting soil and it says dry or wet. If it's wet, don't water. Me, I stick my finger in there. If it's dry, I won't water. If it's water. If it's wet, I water it. I won't water. If it's wet, I won't water. If it's dry, I would think about, when was the last time I watered? Because ideally what you wanted to do, you wanted to go through a few days of no watering. So I tell people, it depends on how often you water, but never water on weekends. Let it dry out. So if it should be able to go 2 days without getting water, no problem. You want the root systems to work. And then when you water, you don't water from the top. You water from the tray so that the root systems suck it up. When you water at the same time, you should add something like super seaweed. This person before obviously is a member or somebody that's been to my site and knows about super seaweed and knows about Nitron A35. And he mentioned AgriGrow. So my super seaweed already has those things, so he doesn't really need to add more of them. But it's a lot cheaper sometimes to buy the Nitron A35 or the AgriGrow. You can buy by the 2.5 gallons, larger amounts. You do want to blend them together. You do want to blend it with something else, like a nice seaweed product. So you have a nicer, because it's just enzymes, not organic fertilizers. You want to get a good organic, liquid organic fertilizer to feed your citrus. People tell you citrus need high nitrogen. Well, they just need an efficient system of getting their trace minerals to them. Their nitrogen level can be, requirements is a little higher than other plants. But all fruit trees are basically in the same category to a certain extent. So you want to repot it. Make sure that you're not overwatering it. Get yourself a little device. Stick it in there. And if it says wet, don't water. Let it, stick it in the next day. Keep popping it in there until it says dry. And then let it go for a few days. Let it dry out. If it stays wet all the time, it becomes waterlogged and it kills the natural bacteria in there. Excuse me. Learn to apply rock dust. I have a rock dust blend. You don't want to use just one rock dust source. You want to get a blend of rock dust source, and the reason for that is you'll get a blend of different sources of the trace minerals. You want to learn how to use foliar sprays. A super seaweed is perfect to spray on the leaves. Lots of different organic, liquid organic fertilizers on the market that you can buy. You can spray on the leaves. You don't say how it looks like it's dying. Is it drooping? Is it leaves are falling? I'm betting the leaves are falling and it's starting to look like a stick. That's because the soil, if you take it out, you'll see that soil is probably stinking and really, really water overwatered, waterlogged stuff. And the only way to save it is to repot it. Take, you know, get it out of the container, throw that soil away, make a nice blend in it, clean the soil that's in the tree now. Try to remove it as much as you can. Just leave the barren roots. Gently put the root systems back into the potting soil, nice potting soil mix, pat it down, and then give it a good watering initially so everything gets wet, and then only water it once a week at the most. Maybe every other week, depending on the size of the plant, depending upon the environment that it's in. And you will find that it will do. It may even just come right back, so you may want to give it a little haircut, you know, give it a pruning job, and give it time to come back. Again, it depends on the time of year. If you're doing that in the wintertime, not the best time, because as spring comes along, that's when the tree will respond to the heat and so forth, okay? All right. So, and by the way, everybody that sends me email is an automatic lifetime winner to my club. So, Julie, I'm sending you email back saying congratulations, you have won. Clicked here. Here's the password. And it'll take you, it'll give you a lifetime membership to my club for free. I'm having 50% discount off until January 1st. So right now, a $20 life membership is only $10. And here's a secret. If you go up there now, my super seaweed and my rock dust, the super seaweed is normally $149.95. Well, 50% off is a good deal. The really best deal, don't tell anybody. See, I have this grower's kit. The grower's kit is $100. Now, I haven't gone up there and done anything to it, right? But it's because sometimes I have a sale. But 50% off, $100 is $50. So for $50, you're going to get a $150 product, which is a super seaweed. You get a quart of super seaweed. And you get a $50 product, which is normally $49.95 for the rock dust blend. So it's $200 for $50. You still got to pay shipping, but that's a good deal. And that little grower's kit right there will solve your citrus problem for a long time. You only need a little bit on a regular basis. Okay, anyway, here's another question. This is from Mary G. I think it's from Southern California. Not really sure. I'm thinking avocado tree, so I'm trying to figure out where. Please tell me where in the world you're at, okay? All right, so my avocado tree stopped bearing fruit several years ago. Every year, it produced less and less than the previous year. This is here. Last year, I had one avocado. The avocado tree next door is doing fine. The avocado tree, my avocado tree is almost 40 years old. There used to be many more of them here. Last 2 years, most of them have been replaced with the newer varieties. My husband planted these 39 years ago. What do you think is wrong? Okay. Mary G. What's happening is that 40 years or so ago, when they came out with the avocados, basically there was two types of avocado, type A and type B. Whether it be male or female is another story, but you know, they call them type A, type B. I think of them as male and female. One produces the flowers in a certain way, and the other one produces the same type of flower, but it's slightly different, and they pollinate each other. Okay. So I'm betting that this avocado tree of yours is either a type A or type B, right? And it's missing the other type. So if it's a type A, it's missing the B. If it's a type B, it's missing a type A. Usually, because you didn't say here if it's very large or anything, if it's a large avocado tree, then it's a type A. If it's a smaller avocado tree, then it's a type B. I say usually. Okay, you need the two to pollinate each other. These varieties was replaced with avocados that do not need a male and a female. So you have a problem, and that probably the one of the males or type B's will cut. You know, if you more than likely had lots of different avocado trees there around your neighborhood, as they're being cut down for buildings and whatever. Are being replaced with the other varieties. So you only need one type B to handle 100 of type A. Okay, so type B, I consider it a male scene, even though it could be the other way around. So if that type B had been cut down, you're lucky you got one avocado. Maybe the wind carried it from a neighborhood that hasn't. More likely not. And so there's nothing much you can do about it other than, and even if the tree was to have, you know, seedlings come up, they would still be a type. If it's a type A has type, if a type A avocado tree has, you know, babies growing up, it's going to be type A too. So it's not going to just produce another variety. Okay. So let's see. So let's see what else we got going here. So I have a couple of things that I want to go over with you real fast of what's going on. So when I talk about this natural disease and pest control, the key is the soil. The key is the soil provides the minerals. Trace mineral deficiency is what causes diseases in the pest. Okay, it brings the pest around first. The pest brings the disease. The pest knows when it's the food for them. When we talk about bricks, we talk about the measurement of sugar levels in a plant, but it also means measurement of trace minerals in the plants. The higher the bricks level, the higher the minerals, the higher the complex carbohydrates. The lower the minerals, the higher the simple carbohydrates. Insects love simple carbohydrates. They can't digest complex carbohydrates. So if the pests stay away, the disease will stay away, because many pests are vectors of diseases. Now, they're, you know, humans are vectors, animals and insects, and so all kinds of things are also vector too. That's why the soil, that's why I say all diseases start in the soil. So you want to have the battle going on with the good guys and the bad guys. You really want the good guys in the soil. Okay, so my system just finished telling me that we only have 3 minutes left, so I'm going to start this song called Master, it's called Lover's Song. It's actually takes a long time, but he'll just cut it off as soon as it's time to go. So thank you very much for listening to my show. Happy growing organically, of course. Bye now. This song is called Lover's Song. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.